You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
Sometimes we are tempted to think that Jesus ascended into heaven to leave us all alone to struggle with our problems. That's not true. A woman in Venezuela was about to commit suicide by driving her car off a bridge. The Spanish Lutheran Hour came on the radio, and she heard that her life was worth saving. She pulled her car off the road, broke down in tears, and then she took her car back onto the road. But this time she was driving for help, not to end her life. In Madagascar, the Lutheran Hour is heard in the Malagasy language. A listener wrote, "I yearn to know much more about God's Word as recorded in Scripture. It is only recently that I have come to sense Jesus' love for me, His grace, His salvation. So I ask your help in learning more about God's Word so that I can do His will." From Lagos, a listener writes, "It's a great privilege to get in touch with you by correspondence. I am glad to inform you that your ministration over Radio Africa has brought revival to many souls here." A listener wrote from Ohio, "Thank you for your continuing ministry of the Word. May I have a copy of your sermon? That sermon was one which I needed to hear and to go over again. It seemed to speak to me and to some particular needs I have." And a listener to the Lutheran Hour in New Zealand writes this, "The timing of your program tonight was interesting. On TV, a scientist was telling us that there is no personal God, that the world was not created, etc., etc. Your program affirmed that there is indeed a big-hearted God." When Jesus ascended into heaven, He did not leave you all alone to struggle with your problems. No, quite the contrary. As our listener in New Zealand wrote, "He is indeed a big-hearted God. His big-hearted compassion applies to you, too. The ascended Lord is busy helping people in New Zealand and Eastern Europe and the Soviet Union and all the other places we broadcast, but God is not too busy for you right now with your problems." It doesn't always seem that way, does it? Since we can't see God with our eyes, we are tempted to think we're on our own. Perhaps some people have dramatic demonstrations of divine help, but most of the time it seems that we muddle through our problems with no dramatic divine help. Because we're tempted to think that way, I want to tell you the story of a troubled family. A family that did not realize that the big-hearted God is present in our problems, working all things for good for those who love Him. The family was the family of Samson and his parents. You remember Samson? He was the proverbial strong man of the Old Testament. Not the wisest or the most pious man, but definitely a strong man. Samson and Delilah is a well-known story. Samson's whole life was one intrigue after another. Sometimes it seems he had more muscles in his body than brains in his head. That was Samson. The soap operas that people watch on TV don't hold a candle to the situations that Samson was forever getting himself into. Judges chapter 14 tells about the young Samson and his first love. It says, "Samson went down to Timnah and saw a woman in Timnah of the daughters of the Philistines." You need to know that these Philistines were the enemies of Samson's people, the people of Israel, and the Philistines worshipped a god different than the God of the Bible. So Samson saw this Philistine woman and told his parents, "I have seen a woman in Timnah of the daughters of the Philistines. Now therefore, get her for me as a wife." Parents were more involved in arranging marriages in those days than they are now. Samson's parents didn't really want to arrange this marriage. After all, this woman that had Samson's eye was not one of their people, not of their faith. So they said, "Is there no woman among the daughters of your brethren, or among all my people, that you must go and get a wife from the uncircumcised Philistines?" But Samson, that big, strong, strapping, virile Samson, said, "Get her for me, for she pleases me well." Dad and Mom tried to change their son's mind, but children get older and they want to live their own lives. So quite unwillingly, they began to arrange the marriage. That's a real life story. If we could take our Lutheran Hour microphone into the home of Samson's parents, they would probably pour out their broken hearts. "We tried to raise him right. We tried to teach him the importance of our ways and our religion. Why does he have to go off and marry some Philistine? They may think that they're in love now, but it will take more than that." If we had our microphone there and asked, "Do you think God could be working in this problem for good?" they probably would look dumbfounded and say, "Well, if he is, we surely can't see it." The story continues. Samson went down to Timnah to visit his love. The Bible says, "A young lion came roaring against him, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he tore the lion apart as one would have torn apart a young goat, though he had nothing in his hand." I don't know how you tear apart a young goat, but tearing apart a lion takes some real strength, and God gave it to him. Samson left the lion's carcass by the side of the road and went on down to Timnah. Time passed, and Samson was again going to visit his intended. When he got to that spot in the road, the Bible says, he turned aside to see the carcass of the lion, and behold, a swarm of bees and honey were in the carcass of the lion. Now that stuck in Samson's mind. Some important religious truths did not stick in his mind, but that lion did. As the marriage drew closer, Samson gave a feast attended by 30 Philistines. Samson said this to the Philistine men, "Let me pose a riddle for you. If you can correctly solve and explain it to me within the 7 days of the feast, then I will give you 30 linen garments and 30 changes of clothing. But if you cannot explain it to me, then you shall give me 30 linen garments and 30 changes of clothing." And they said to him, "Pose your riddle, that we may hear it." So Samson said to them, "Out of the eater came something to eat, and out of the strong came something sweet." Well, the Philistines couldn't figure the riddle out, so they put pressure on Samson's wife. She used her wiles on Samson. "You only hate me," she wept. "You do not love me. You have posed a riddle to the sons of my people, but you have not explained it to me." No wonder Mom and Dad did not approve of this marriage. She was a scheming, deceitful woman. Samson gave in to his wife's begging. He told her the answer, and she right away told the Philistines. With a smirk, the Philistine men told Samson, "What is sweeter than honey? And what is stronger than a lion?" Samson was infuriated. He went to the town of Ashkelon and killed 30 Philistines, and he used their clothes to pay off his debt. Then he left that Philistine wife, and he moved back home with Mom and Dad. If we had our Lutheran Hour microphone there, I'd ask, "Samson, Dad, Mom, did any good come out of all this?" They'd probably answer, no, it was just a sorry mess." Yes, it was a sorry mess. But the big-hearted God was working in it for good. Listen to Judges chapter 14, verse 4. "His father and mother did not know that it was of the Lord, that he was seeking an occasion to move against the Philistines." The Lord was right there in the middle of the problem, working for his people. Through this foolish marriage, God began his work of freeing his people from the oppression of the Philistines. In the subsequent chapters of Judges, we see God working through Samson to help Israel. That's the way God is with people and problems. We can't see. We can't understand sometimes how anything good can come from the problems of our lives. But our big-hearted God is all-wise and all-powerful, and He can bring good for His people out of the worst of problems. That's why Dr. Martin Luther wrote this prayer, O Father of all mercy and God of all comfort, strengthen and uphold me by your Spirit. You command that we should wait on Him until the reason for our trial shall appear. For you do not for your own pleasure permit people to be tortured and grieved. In fact, you do not permit any evil to be done unless you can make it serve a good purpose. You see my distress and weakness. Therefore, you will help and deliver me. Amen. You wonder where the Lord is? He's where the problems are. If you would go back 2,000 years and look for the Lord Jesus, where would you find Him? You'd find Him with people having problems. You'd find Him with the sick and hurting people. You'd find Him with the people who didn't measure up to human standards. You'd find Him with the people despised by polite society. You wouldn't find Him hanging around the country club very often. Where would you find Jesus 2,000 years ago? You'd find Him on Good Friday, hanging on a cross and suffering because God so much wanted to remove the sin that separated humanity from God. You'd find Him dying innocently, so that others could live joyfully with hope, even in the midst of suffering. You wouldn't find Jesus all wrapped up in good old number one, taking care of Himself first. If you would go back 2,000 years, where would you find Jesus? You'd find Him raised from the dead on Easter morning and showing Himself to His disciples who were so scared and so frightened. Oh, they had their problems too. They could have written for guidance in those hours after the burial of Christ. They had hitched their star to Jesus, and He had been put to death. But when Jesus was raised, He assured His disciples that His life is an eternal life, a life that enables scared disciples to endure their problems with faith in our big-hearted God. And on the day of ascension, where would you find Jesus? You would not find Him saying, I've got to get out of this place. I can't handle all these problems. Oh, no. When Jesus ascended, He promised to be with you always. He ascended to the right hand of God His Father in glory as Lord of lords and King of kings. This ascended Lord, not seen with physical eyes, but known by faith. This ascended Lord is with you in your lion-sized problems. He was there with Samson and his family in their problems. Although you don't see Him, He's there with you when you're struggling with your own lion-sized problems. Lo, I am with you always, He said. Always. He is present in your problems. He is not there to punish. How many times when something is going wrong, don't you and I ask if God is punishing us for our sins? We rack our brains trying to figure out what in the world did we do so wrong that we are having all these problems. To be sure, we have our sins. To be sure, the difficulties of life are due to sin, to our failure to be perfect in our relation with one another and with God. But to be sure, Jesus suffered the punishment for your sins upon the cross. Thus, St. Paul writes, there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. St. John writes, the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. The ascended Lord is present in your problems. He's there to assure you through the good news of His death and resurrection that your problems are not a punishment from God for your sins. Your problems are rather a reminder that you and I have not yet ascended into heaven. Your problems are a pointed reminder that you are a forgiven sinner. Forgiven, but a sinner who needs God's help during all the difficult days of life. Yes, the ascended Lord is present in your problems. He's there to help. And he can help you because he is the ascended Lord. Jesus Christ is not a descended loser. He didn't die and get buried, never to be heard from again. That's what his enemies wanted, but that's not what they got. Jesus Christ is not a descended loser. He's an ascended Lord. To him belong the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Even in your lion-sized problems, whatever they might be, he is your ascended Lord. Since he is Lord, and we are but his believing people, we will not always understand how he is working for good in our problems. His good intentions will not always be manifest to us in our times of difficulty. But since he has assured you that all things work together for good to them that love God, you can do no better than to trust that your ascended Lord is present in your lion-sized problems. St. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 1, I ask the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, to give you a spirit of wisdom that will reveal more and more to you as you come to know him better. Then the eyes of your minds will be enlightened, so that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the rich glory which his holy people will inherit, and the vast resources of his power working in the interest of us who believe according to the working of his mighty power. He worked with that same power in Christ when he raised him from the dead and made him sit at his right hand in heaven, above all rulers, authorities, powers, lords, and any name that can be mentioned, not only in this age, but also in the next. And he put everything under his feet and established him as the head of everything for the good of the church, which is his body, completely filled by him who fills everything in every way. The Lord was present with Samson and his family and their lion-sized problems. Samson's parents didn't have the slightest idea that God was there working for the good of his people, but God was. What appeared to be problems to human eyes were opportunities that God seized to work for the good and the eventual deliverance of his people. God hasn't changed. He's present in your problems, working for the good of his people and leading us by faith to the final deliverance that will be ours when we ascend to be with our Savior in heaven. All your fretting, all your hand-wringing, all your worrying won't bring you peace in your problems. Peace in your problems comes from trusting that you have an ascended Lord who is with you, working for good. God moves in a mysterious way his wonders to perform. He plants his footsteps in the sea and rides upon the storm. Ye fearful saints, fresh courage take. The clouds ye so much dread are big with mercy and shall break in blessings on your head. Judge not the Lord by feeble sense, but trust him for his grace. Behind a frowning providence, he hides a smiling face. Amen.